You are listening to an archived edition of the Snow Nose Gardening Show, which you can hear every Saturday morning on News Radio 1070 WINA. Stop by their store in person at 1875 Avon Street in Charlottesville, Virginia, or call them by phone 434-295-2159. Now the guys from Snow Nose.
Hello and good morning and welcome to the Snow Nose Garden Show. I'm Corbin Snow.
I'm Norm Carlson.
And we're here for the next hour to answer your gardening questions and take your phone calls live here in the WINA studios. Our number, if you'd like to reach us, is 977-1070. Again, that number 977-1070. You're listening to the longest continuously running garden show in the world. And we are live each and every Saturday morning, and we have been since the spring of 1950 is when this little show started, some 60-odd years ago.
Yep, almost and 61 years.
61 years ago, old Grandpa Leroy Snow, you know, went to the local radio stations and said, I'd like to do a little garden show. And here we are today continuing that tradition in the Snow's Garden Center way. And we thank you for listening. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for making us the number one listen to weekend talk radio show in Central Virginia with over 16,000 listeners each and every week. If you happen to miss our show, you can always go to our website at snownose.com. You can also go to the Charlottesville podcast website. Just Google Charlottesville podcast. All our shows are podcasted on that website. And you can also go to WINA.com and listen to the podcast there as well. Lots of ways to listen and be involved with the show. The show is brought to you by Snow's Garden Center, which is conveniently located just south of downtown Charlottesville out on Avon Street. I think I covered all the business.
I think so.
You can join us on, you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter. There's just so many ways to be connected these days. And it seems like we're coming up, they're inventing more ways.
I was just going to say, more and more every day, it seems like.
Well, so you can talk about the social networking and media and how it's all working. There's so many different, you know, coupons out there and specials. And if you're connected and plugged in, you can literally drive around Charlottesville with your smartphone and get discounts and specials to restaurants and retailers just about everywhere you go.
Mm-hmm.
There's a social network group or company out there called Foursquare, which is pretty much a networking, media networking that you check in at different locations throughout the city. And as you update your positioning, which is all GPS controlled, it'll locate all the businesses around you, and you can see which ones are offering specials. Snow's Garden Center has a special. There's also a new idea and program getting ready to launch in the next couple of weeks called Coupon Rover, which again is for your smartphone, but it's being brought forward from a local media group, which will give you the ability to receive and download coupons. And you take your smartphone to the cashier, and the cashier presses a button on your phone to redeem it. So we were having this conversation earlier in the way things are just evolving and changing, it seems like, every day.
That's right.
But that has nothing to do with gardening, except that I've got some really exciting news. I don't think I've told you, Norman. Snow's is in the process. I have a local buddy of mine, a good friend, who is developing a Snow's Garden Center app for the Droid and iPhone and some other applications out there. So that'll be coming. It probably still a few months away, but talking about the evolution of this of the smartphones and websites and everything, they're saying that apps are the new websites, that businesses will have apps that you can, which is basically a mobile website, if you will, that you can access from your phone anywhere and receive updates and coupons and information, news. So we have someone who he started, he's working on it, and as it comes to life and it's being created, I'll share a few more of the details with everyone, but look out for that in the near future. Let's talk about gardening. And, you know, as I was driving in this morning, I always like to, as I'm driving, think and look around and say, you know, what's going on in the garden, what needs to be done in the garden, what kind of damage is presenting itself in the garden this time of year, what things can you do to prevent, you know, the damage in the garden. And one of the big challenges we have is winter damage and making sure we're doing things to protect the plants and providing them with the care they need to come out of the winter thriving and looking good in the spring.
Right. And, you know, I talked a little bit about that last night on CBS 19 when I was doing the spot that we do on there every Friday evening. And the main problem that we see with winter damage and everything, it's not that the plants can't take the cold, because, you know, we know how cold it gets on, you know, in a normal winter. Most of us, you know, who are involved in gardening for any length of time, you very quickly become familiar with the U.S. Department of Agriculture, the USDA hardiness zone map. It's a map that's developed by the USDA that has the country divided up into 11 climate zones based on minimum, you know, average minimum winter temperatures. And this area, we're in zone 6B to 7A, depending on exactly where you are. Most of the area is in 7A, but as you get closer to the mountains in Crozet, and then there's a pocket out in Fluvanna County. Don't ask me why, but there's a pocket out in that area that's actually tends to be colder, and that's in the 6B category. And what that means is that our average minimum wintertime temperature for 7A is going to be like 0 to 5 above. That's about as cold as we typically see it. In the 6B area, you're looking at 0 to 5 below. And when we make plant selections, the plants that we carry in the garden center, the plants that you typically see available for sale in this area, and what, you know, what gets recommended on landscape plans and things like that, takes that into consideration, so that, you know, most of the plants that you see available for sale are plants that can easily tolerate those temperatures. In fact, you know, we look at you know, plants for zone 6 as, you know, kind of the minimum standard. You may see a few zone 7 plants. Some of the crepe myrtles are kind of in that range. Some of the hardy gardenias are kind of in that minimum. But, you know, typically we look at 6 or colder, you know, as, you know, the kind of plants that we want to carry and that we recommend, so that you don't have to worry about the average normal winter and having plants frozen out because they can't take the cold. But the problem that we do see, and, you know, this is something that we see just about every winter in, you know, in different scenarios, is winter injury that comes from plants drying out. And that's the typical injury that you see.
And the drier they get, the more susceptible they become to wind damage and the cold damage that you were referring to.
Right. And typically, it's, you know, it's not really cold damage. It's the plant was, you know, there was not water available in the ground, or the soil was frozen, and we still had these drying winter winds, and literally dried the leaves out. They weren't able to absorb the water that they needed, and they got too dry. And it's drying injury that you see as opposed to true cold damage.
We've got to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to tell you how you can protect those plants. You're listening to the Snow Nose Garden Show. We'll be right back. And welcome back to the Snow Nose Garden Show. If you'd like to join the show, we had a caller. We just lost them, but if you'd like to join the show, give us a call at 977-1070. The phone lines are wide open, and we'd love to hear your gardening questions this morning on the Snow Nose Show. We'd like to wish Jonathan Gibson a very happy birthday tomorrow. Jonathan, happy birthday, and thank you for calling in. So before we went to break, we were talking about damage on winter damage this time of year and things you can do to protect your plants. And Norman was talking about the importance of applying water, making sure your plants are staying moist, and just how beneficial that one simple step can be to a lot of your, even some of your mature shrubs can be this time of year.
Right. And typically we don't see that much of a problem with it out in the garden because there's, you know, this time of year there's usually enough moisture in the soil to take care of it. But it is something that you want to keep an eye on. Where it becomes particularly critical is in plants that you've got in containers. If you've got some boxwoods or a dwarf Alberta spruce or something like that in a pot on the front porch or on your deck, these are the plants that you really need to pay really close attention to because they can very easily dry out, particularly if they're up under an overhang on the front porch. And let's face it, who thinks about going out and watering in January, especially right. In the mornings like this when you wake up and it's 16 degrees? You know, who wants to get out there with a water hose? Typically, you think of you know, the water hose.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, your water hose is frozen more than likely.
Right, and hopefully you've got it disconnected and packed,
right.
You know, put away somewhere. But, you know, you don't think about dragging it out and watering your plants this time of year. But it is something that, particularly with your container plants, you really want to keep a close eye on because they can dry out, and that's when you start really seeing, you know, some winter injury issues on those plants is if they start to get dry. The other thing that you can do to help prevent it is treat them with what's called an anti-desiccant or a anti-transpirant, and it's a product like Wilt Proof is the most common one, and you, right. You spray it on your plants. You want to do it when the temperatures are a little warmer. You want to get it when the temperatures are up into the 40s at least, but spray the plants with this Wilt Proof or another anti-desiccant. And that will put a waxy coating over the leaves to help prevent them from drying out and getting, the wind burn from the cold winds when they're not able
to. But the horticulture oil, would that kind of serve a dual purpose as, you know, as being anti-transparent and also, you know, helping with disease and insect control, or
maybe,
not as much?
Yeah, maybe a little bit, but it's not going to be as long lasting. It's not going to give you quite the level of protection that a Wilt Proof or a Wilt Stop right. would do. So again,
and that's a foliar application. It's not something you want to spray directly onto
right.
the leaves.
You spray it on the leaves, get good coverage top and bottom of the leaves, and it forms a nice coating on there that. Helps prevent the leaves from drying out so bad. Kind of like, putting lotion on your hands when it's this time of year.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's drying out. And this will help to keep that from happening with your plants. And it's primarily an issue with your broadleaf evergreens. You don't see it very much on deciduous plants because,
the leaves are gone.
Right. So they're much less susceptible to it. But your broadleaf evergreens can very easily get dried out. In these kinds of temperatures, when the ground is frozen for a prolonged period of time, they don't have the ability to draw moisture up into the leaves, or if you know they are in a situation where the soil just gets dry.
If you'd like to join the show, we've had two callers now, and we've lost you both. So give us a call back. The phone lines are still wide open, 977-1070. Love to take your gardening questions this morning. Now, new shrubs, newly planted shrubs, either shrubs that you planted late fall, early winter, or you're planting now, you still need to provide water and moisture for those shrubs as not quite as frequent as you would planting in spring or summer, but you still really need to be mindful of them and their needs for this time of year for water.
Right. And of all of the plants in the garden, these are going to be the ones that are the most susceptible to those kinds of issues because they don't have the root system established the way the more mature plants do.
However, the maintenance involved on, you know, planting trees and shrubs, you know, if you can just imagine, most of the root balls are frozen. So you don't need to go in there and water, you know, twice a week, once a week. It's just a matter of making sure that the little moisture is applied every once in a while, you know, every couple weeks. So that's, you know, we talked about a couple weeks ago, we have a lot of landscape projects going on right now. A lot of people taking advantage of, you know, not having to keep up with the shrubs this time of year. As we transition from winter to spring, you know, you're going to have to, it's not like there's plants are going to be established and ready to go. They're going to have to, you know, do some watering then. But it's nice to have a period where you don't have to stress about the water and the maintenance of your trees and shrubs like you would have to do planting it in late July or August.
Right. I mean, the good news is with the colder temperatures that we've got right now and less intense sunlight and everything, the water stays in the soil a whole lot longer. So anytime we get snow or rain that melts down and moistens the soil, that moisture tends to stay in the soil a lot longer.
As an example, so in our nursery, in our garden center, you know, we've got a watering system and in the months of May and June, you go out there and you lift up one of the pots that was just watered the day before, and it's completely dry and empty, and there's no weight to it, and it was just watered the day before. You know, it was given a couple gallons of water. And this time of year, I think, watered two or three times a supplemental watering to the rain and snow that we've received. And, you know, it's been several days without significant water, but I went out there last week as you and I were walking the nursery, picked up a pot, and it weighed, you know, 40 pounds. So
yeah, they're still good and heavy. So
yeah, just kind of dramatize what we're talking about and just let you know the amount of care and the level of maintenance is extremely, you know, it's a lot lower this time of year.
And that's one of the great benefits of planting in the fall is that you're able to take advantage of this period when, you know, there's still a relatively significant amount of root growth taking place down under the ground.
Right.
As these plants are working to establish themselves, even though there's nothing happening up on top.
Up top.
There is still root growth going on when the soil's not frozen. And, you know, the plants are able to work to get a head start on establishing themselves at a period of time when you're not out there having to baby them all the time. So it really is a great opportunity.
And talk about things happening, you know, if you were to do some things this time of year. How about installing a lawn? We did a few last week, the week before that, but putting in a sodded lawn. I mean, how nice is it to not have to water that puppy once or twice a day, or have to worry about mowing it even?
That's right.
And it's going to have 2 or 3 months of good root growth and development, and, you know, a good shot of fertilizer in the spring, and those lawns are going to look fantastic. They're going to look beautiful.
With virtually no effort on your part. You prep the soil, roll the sod out, and you're done.
We'll talk about that when we come back. We've got to take a quick break. You're listening to the Snow Nose Garden Show on AM 1070. We'll be right back. Good morning and welcome back to the Snow Nose Garden Show. I'm Corbin Snow.
I'm Norm Carlson.
We're here for the next half hour to take your gardening questions and answer your phone calls. From my understanding, my father and Norman were here last week, and they were talking how they had come up with, my dad was telling me they had come up with this trivia game, and you had to answer 10 trivia questions to get them all right, and they would give you a bag of bumper crop. And my dad said, you know, we were, you know, doing this great deal because you were out of town and we wanted to give stuff away. I was like, you made it really hard on the listeners. I'm a lot nicer than that. So I wanted to throw a little trivia question out there this morning. We'll give you the same prize, a bag of bumper crop. No, let's do better than a bag of bumper crop. That's about as boring as it gets. What are you going to do with one bag of bumper crop? Let's give 5 packets of seeds away. 5 packets of seeds that you can use, you know, to start out in the garden early, some indoor seed growing this winter. So here's the question. Oak trees do not produce acorns until they are how old? What age will an oak tree finally start to produce acorns? That's the trivia question of the day. If you'd like to answer that question, give us a call at 977-1070 and you can win some seeds. And if you don't like seeds, we've got some bulbs. How's that?
There you go.
Bulbs or seeds? We've got some leftover fall bulbs that you can still plant. You can still plant them this time of year and get away with, you know, still having those bulbs come up here in a few months.
In fact, that's actually a good thing to do this time of year, is go back through all of the closets and cabinets and back corners of your, you know, wherever you store garden supplies and stuff, and just check, you know, double check and make sure you don't have any leftover bulbs that you didn't get into the ground back in
when's the drop dead date? When's it just going to be too late?
A lot of it depends on
the weather,
how they've been stored,
yeah,
and all of that. But usually, if you don't get them in by the first of the middle of February, you're
okay.
You know, you're really starting to push it at that point.
Now, are our bulbs on sale right now?
Yes, they're
okay.
50%.
They're all 50% off. Right. So, and we still have a pretty decent selection. We've got some tulips and
daffodils
are still some hyacinths. So you can still come. We don't have, you know, hundreds of them, but we've got a couple bags left. If you didn't have a chance to get your bulbs in the ground, it's not too late. Let's go to line number 3. Good morning. You're on the Snow Nose Garden Show.
Hello.
Hey, good morning. Did you have a guest for us? We're great, thank you.
Hey, I'd like to try to answer your question.
Okay.
25 years on the oak trees.
25 years is a little bit short.
Okay.
All right, but thanks for calling.
All right.
Bye-bye. All right, so the question once again, oak trees do not produce acorns until they are how old? How old in age do they have to be? And I think that this goes true for humans as well. We really don't start producing and adding to society till we get to this age. No, I'm just kidding. Let's go to line number 2. Good morning. You're on the Snow Nose Garden Show.
Yeah, how you doing?
Good, good.
30 years.
30 years. That's a little bit short, but that you're getting closer.
All right, thank you.
All right, thank you. If you'd like to call in and guess the answer, our number is 977-1070. Giving away your choice of bulbs or some seeds that you can get started in your home right now. Let's go to line number 1. This could be someone calling in to answer the question, or it could be Stephen Picari. Let's go to line number 1. Good morning. You're on the Snow Nose Garden Show.
Good morning. This is Steve Picari.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm chilly, but I'm good.
It's a little cold out there this morning.
Yep. Just wanted to call in and let you guys know the 28th annual Central Virginia Landscape Management Seminar that's coming up on February 10th.
That's right. It's February 10th. And where's it going to be held this year, Steve?
It will be at the Paramount Theater on the downtown mall here in Charlottesville.
Oh, that's great. And I know you all have some special speakers and some just a wonderful agenda put together for the seminar and clinic this year.
We do, yeah. We've got 3 great speakers this year. Douglas Tallamy, he's the professor of entomology with the University of Delaware. He'll be speaking on Bringing Natives Home, which is a book that he wrote a year or two ago that he'll be expanding upon. And then the headline speaker will be Michael Durr. Most people in the industry are familiar with Michael Durr. Everybody uses his book as the main resource and reference for most woody plants that we use in the landscape. And he'll be speaking twice, before and after lunch. The first talk will be on In Praise of Noble Plants, and then the second one will be on new shrubs, breeding, marketing, and introduction. And we've had a lot of great response regarding Michael Durr. Everybody's very excited, and I hate to say it's a once-in-a-lifetime thing, but he doesn't come to Central Virginia often, so it's a good opportunity to get out and see him.
And this is somebody, you know, for those who may not be that familiar with Durr you know, his reputation, he has written a book called It's the Manual of Woody Landscape Plants that really is kind of the nurseryman and landscaper's Bible as far as, you know, all of the different trees, shrubs, just hundreds and hundreds of varieties of plants he's gone through and compiled growth information, you know, how big they get, where they like to grow, how to, you know, what cultural information, what landscape uses there are for them. And it really is the kind of the gold standard as far as reference material for any kind of woody landscape material. And he's just really done a phenomenal job at putting this together and is an incredible wealth of knowledge on landscape material and what plants do and where they want to be and all of that.
Yeah, I would totally agree. It is the gold standard. I remember my first plant class, I was issued that book, and I remember looking at it. It was very daunting. I didn't know what I was going to get out of it, but the more that I read it and use it, the more richer it becomes. It's really a terrific book. It's a great plant book, and it'll stand to the ages, I guarantee you that.
And the other thing that you know, unlike most reference material, as you look through the book and read through some of the entries that he has put in at some of the descriptions and everything, it is not as dry a read as you would think.
True.
He puts lots of little comments in there that some of them, he really praises the plants, and in others he's rather scathing in his descriptions. It really is funny as you go through and read some of it.
And Stephen, is there still availability if people want to sign up and go to the clinic?
There is still plenty of availability, yep. You can find out, or you can go to register at our website, which is piedmont-landscape.org. Or if you were to email the website, we can get your registration form online. But I would say as right now, we still have plenty of registration or plenty of space available, and but we're still getting phone calls. People are still signing up, so we're excited. It looks like we'll have a good turnout this year.
And where's it being held this year?
It's at the Paramount Theater in the Downtown Mall in Charlottesville.
Great venue. That's wonderful.
Oh, it's just beautiful. I went in there the other day, and it really just blew me away again how we're having it there. So, and just as a note, it's also co-sponsored by the Jefferson Chapter of Virginia Native Plants. So just like to thank them for their sponsorship of one of the speakers.
Well, that's great. Just give us all the vital information one more time.
Okay, well, it's the 28th Annual Central Virginia Landscape Management Seminar held at the Paramount Theater in Charlottesville here. It's on Thursday, February 10th, and for more information, the easiest thing to do is to go to our website, which is piedmont-landscape.org, and we'll be able to get back in touch with you if you email us through there.
That's great. Stephen, thank you so much for joining us this morning. We appreciate you sharing that information with our listeners. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And joining us live in the studios, hey, Scott, good morning.
Hey, just a little late, but you know.
No, glad you stopped by.
I was in the neighborhood, so I decided to stop by. The Piedmont seminar there is going to be great. I'm really looking forward to it. And one thing I want to remind folks, that Snows is going to have a table there that day. So when you come, if you come by, come and see us. We're going to have some information about Snows. But the best thing we're going to have is our 2011 calendar of events will be there. And on the front of that is all the fun stuff we're going to do. And on the back, when you turn it over, there's a $5 gift certificate. So go out and learn all the great things from the Piedmont Landscape Association seminar, and then stop by Snows and buy something that you just learned about. So that'll be a great thing to do. So join us that day. The other thing I wanted to talk about quickly, we got some time for a break, Glenn? Glenn says 1 minute, so I'll talk as quickly as Corbin does. That's no problem at all for me. One thing you may have recognized, you've been listening to the show for a while, you're wondering, why hasn't Scott been in Virginia Beach? Why hasn't he been talking about the Virginia Beach show? Well, it's not that it's not happening this year. It's just happening later. So that's going to be in March this year. So the dates for the Virginia Flower and Garden Show down in Virginia Beach this year are March the 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th. So maybe we'll be able to have some better weather. You may remember the last 3 or 4 years, it's been snow piled up to our kneecaps, and we haven't been able to get a whole lot of folks down there. But by changing that date on the show this year, I'm pretty excited about it. I'm going to be doing my lecture down there this year. I've got a new title for one, and the new title for this year's lecture is Surprises Under the Ground. So it's going to be things that you don't know about that are happening under the ground that you need to be aware of. So I think that'll be a good one. I'll be doing that here several times. I'll be doing at the home show and then down at Virginia Beach. So we'll start giving tickets away to that starting next week. Also want to remind you of Maymont Flower and Garden Show. That's going to be coming up here in a few weeks. That's February 10th, 11th, 12th, and 13th down in Richmond. Definitely still must see. The show is really still holding its own very well. Great time to get great gardening inspiration. I was actually talking to a friend the other day who's forcing their bulbs, and they've got some pretty interesting plants that they're going to have forced this year. They took a lot of annuals that they had last year and tropicals, and instead of just letting them die out in the garden, they kept them in the greenhouse and have brought those things forward. So
beautiful.
They've got some tree. We're so used to only seeing early spring plants down there.
Right.
They're going to have mandevillas and bougainvilleas, and they're going to have a lot of tree hibiscus and those things. And their theme this year that this particular group is going for is like a late summer kind of tropical garden. So I think that'll be really exciting. You can have a wonderful gardening weekend by running down to Richmond for the Maymont Show. And then be sure you get to the Piedmont Landscape Association seminar and just have a full gardening weekend there.
All right, we've got to take a quick break. When we come right, we'll be right back. You're listening to the Snow Nose Garden Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, Gucci, Gucci, Goo, baby, I love you.
That's Dallas's favorite television show and song right now. Gucci, Gucci, Goo, baby, I love you by Phineas and Ferb. And welcome back to the Snow Nose Garden Show. If you'd like to join the show, our number here is 977-1070. We're still looking for an answer to our trivia question, which was, how long does it take for an oak tree to produce acorns? We're looking for a year, how many years it takes. We've had guesses of 20, 30, and 25, and we need to go north of those numbers. So if you'd like to answer that question, give us a call, 977-1070. Before we went to the break, Norman, you were going to talk about...
We were talking about the Maymont Flower and Garden Show. Yeah, and as always, if you're interested in going to Maymont, we have tickets available at the Garden Center. They're $8 a piece.
Saves you a couple bucks buying them now.
Four.
Right.
Yeah, it's like $12 at the door. So you can come in and pick up, you know, early tickets at the Garden Center for $8 a piece. We've got them... available now, and get an opportunity to go down and see a great show and save some money in the process.
It also saves you a lot of time because if you haven't been before, the way that the Richmond Center is set up now, it's a big circle almost, and they only sell tickets kind of in one corner. So you can park on the opposite side very, very closely to one of the entrances, and you can just walk right in instead of having to go all the way around the whole Richmond Center. So you can save some time and effort and energy there, and it's definitely worth going down and getting that spring inspiration. I think we're all ready for some spring weather and some blooming things and some green grass.
That's right.
Although I was driving in, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, I like to just notice what has to be done, like what things are vital to get done in the garden this time of year. And one of the things I was really not missing was looking at all the dormant grass and just how nice it is that you don't have to mow it this time of year. It's nice to have a little break, right?
Yes.
And just, you know, the smell it's a wonderful, great thing that first cut or two of the year, and you're like, oh, this is awesome. But then, you know, by late in the season, your allergies are all kicked up and...
Not me, baby. I have clean leaves out of my yard 15 times this year.
Have you really?
And they just keep coming back.
Yeah.
I've got so many of those oaks, and those oaks just hold those bottom leaves, and they still are falling all the time. Yeah. So, oh my gosh. There's
buy a house that has more than one or two mature trees in the landscape. So I'm holding true to my my promise I made to myself.
Norman and I have 50 and a half acres.
I know. Seriously.
I think I said this before, but you go on Google Earth and look at my house and you can't find it.
You can't see it.
You see the driveway and that's it. All the rest of it.
Let's go to the phone lines. Good morning. Good morning. You're on the Snow Nose Garden Show.
Good morning. This is Christina. I have a question about an unused horse ring. How do you keep, what can you apply to keep down it from being grown over?
You're just trying to keep the weeds and all of that from taking over?
Yes, and anything, weeds or anything desirable.
Right, just keep it the kind of a stone dust or whatever surface that's in there.
Now,
is this one that you're actively using, or you just want to keep it clean?
We're not using it anymore. Our 20-something girls are gone, so it's just staying vacant.
Okay, yeah, there are several different products that you can use to keep the weeds from and keep anything from growing in there. There are some pre-emergents that you can put on there that do a great job at keeping just about anything from coming up. Some of them are fairly heavy-duty products that are not typically available to homeowners in kind of a residential scenario, but there are some that are readily available, something like weed screen. But that's something that you're going to have to apply fairly regularly to keep everything under control. It's a granular product.
How early can you apply it? February, March?
Yeah, you can put it down to a certain extent. Almost the earlier the better, because there are some weeds that start to come up fairly early in the season. It's hard to get it down really too early. But then, like I say, you just need to keep in mind that you're going to have to reapply fairly regularly throughout the season. It only lasts about 3 months per application.
Okay. So every 3 months or more
frequently?
About every 3 months. Every 3 months, and this is something that we can do with a sprayer on the back of a ATV?
Well, it actually comes, it's a granular product, so you'd run it through a fertilizer spreader.
Oh, okay, great. And we had a question from your last show, which was great, on plants in the house. We seem to be able to only grow peace lilies because we have northern exposure. Do you have any other recommendations?
Peace lilies are great. They're actually one of the prominent plants on the lists of air purifiers that, you know, like we were talking about last week. Another one that should work really well for you, if you can get peace lilies to go, you should also be able to get a vining plant called pothos. That should
pothos?
Should right. That should
do you
work.
Carry that?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Great.
That should work really well for you. And there's another one called aglaonema, or Chinese evergreen, that should work real well for you also. Both of those can take very similar conditions to what the peace lilies like. So if you can get the peace lilies to live, the pothos and the aglaonema should work very well for you also.
And you carry the Chinese evergreen as well?
Yes. Yeah, we've got both of those.
And with the pothos, it's nice because you can get some variegation in the leaf on those too, and then you can kind of brighten that area up. Sometimes, you know, in those darker areas, you have a tendency to get a plant like the peace lily. If it's dark and you got the dark leaves of the peace lily, the plant, you know, sometimes gets lost. So with the pothos, it's got a bright, bright green foliage, or there's even variegated varieties available.
That sounds great. Your show last week was great. That really inspired us to try to add some more to the house.
Well, thanks. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening. Bye-bye. I was going to mention we also have a new product called the Light Stick, mm-hmm. and it's a little small light that is inserted into the base or the pot of any indoor house plant. And it has little LED lights, and the LED lights are controlled by a sensor, which turns the light on or off based on the light requirements of that plant. Right. So it's kind of a neat little product that really allows you to have any house plant, no matter what the conditions are as far as sunlight in your home.
It's a much more practical type of a grow light for individual house plants than anything we've had before.
Right.
And, you know, they're fairly small. They typically work on, you know, up to maybe an 8-inch. You know, a plant that would be in like an 8-inch pot.
Up to about 12 inches in height.
Yeah, a table-sized plant. You know, it's not going to work for like a ficus tree or something like that. But something that you're going to have on a desk or an end table or something like that works great.
I think they would be perfect for also growing your indoor herbs. You know, right now that's the thing I miss the most is not having those fresh herbs. So if you wanted to do this, you could, you know, sometimes we don't have enough sun on the kitchen windowsill or, you know, wherever to put it. The other beauty is so often some of the plants, they can be messy. They can leak a little bit and do that type of thing. So you often want to put them somewhere, but you can't put them there because you don't have the light. Well, in this situation, not only do you get, you know, the plant getting the light it needs, but also it's a great accent. I mean, I've seen them almost used as night lights, you know, in a room, and they're fantastic. So I think it's a great opportunity to, you know, kind of stretch your realm and get more of those houseplants in for a healthy house.
Right.
We talked a little bit about it. We also have all our seeds in stock, and we've got those up at the garden center. We also have these little grow kits that kind of go with the light sticks where you can grow herb gardens and get some early seeds going and up this winter.
That's right.
Let's go back to the phone lines. Good morning. You're on the Snow Nose Garden Show.
I would like to answer the question.
Alrighty, we're ready for you.
50 years.
Did you say 50 years or 15 years?
50.
50. Oaks. 50, 50.
Except for red oaks. Red oaks are a little bit different.
You nailed it. You are exactly right.
Red oaks are from 5 to 25.
You said red oaks are a little bit different. What's the requirements for red oaks?
Red oaks are 5 to 25.
Okay. Well, you should get like double bonus points for that or something. So you can swing by the garden center and pick up your choice of either some spring bulbs or some winter seeds to get going.
I hear a lot of music in the background. I can hardly hear you.
We'll turn that music down just a little bit.
There
you go. So you can either, Glenn likes to run me out of the station every week. Sorry about that.
Okay.
You can swing by the garden center and pick up your prize, which is your choice of any spring bulbs or 5 bags of seeds.
Okay.
Okay?
Great.
Great. And what was your name?
Vivian.
Livian?
Vivian. V-I-V-I-A-N.
Vivian. Wonderful. Thank you so much for listening, Vivian.
Okay.
You have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
Happy gardening to
Bye-bye.
You. We're just about out of time. Norman, you want to talk about a few of the new arrivals we've had this last week before we say goodbye?
Oh, we just got a great shipment of pottery in yesterday, some great pots for your indoor plants, some self-watering pots, some great, you know, little small plants for your pots for your desktop plants, some great ones that Scott's real excited about for outside, you know, big, tall, kind of heavy black pots made out of what they call fiber clay. It's fiberglass reinforced terracotta, beautiful pots, and just all kinds of great stuff.
Follow us online at snownose.com. We're out of time this week. We'll see you next week on the Snow Nose Garden Show.